We want to welcome you to this week's episode of On the Couch with Fouch.
Here. Thank you so much for tuning in for On the Couch with Fouch. I hope that you enjoyed this interview, and now, on to the show.
We're an anchor for those who are hurting. We're a harbor for those who are lost. And sometimes it's not always easy bearing Calvary's cross. We've been ridiculed by those who don't know Him. Sometimes we're mocked by those who don't believe. Still I love standing up for my Jesus because of all that He's done for me. That's why I am not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. No, I am not afraid to be counted, but I'm willing to give my life. See, I'm ready to be all He wants me to be. Give up the the gospel of Jesus Christ. For every moment His hand has held mercy, and for all the love that He's shown all my life, a simple thanks doesn't say how I'm feeling. I get tears in my eyes. So as for me, I've made up my mind to keep on believing in the God who's been faithful all these years. I'm not out to please this whole world.
Save His name.
That's Lauren Talley of the Talley Trio, and of course, I'm Not Ashamed. And that's off of her latest solo project, The Gospel. She's one of my favorite Southern Gospel artists. She's one of my favorite singers anywhere, anytime. And recently, Matt Fouch got a chance to interview Lauren. And we're tickled to death to have the opportunity to bring it to you today. First and foremost, though, we want to thank Matt Fouch for allowing us to do these programs and being our technical advisor. Here's Lauren Talley and Matt Fouch.
Hey guys, this is On the Couch with Fouch, and I'm your host, Matt Fouch, and I have a special guest with me today. But before I introduce her, I want to tell y'all where you can find all the interviews. Just go to onthecouchwithfouch.com, like the Facebook page, subscribe on YouTube, get the emails from onthecouchwithfouch.com so you never miss any of the interviews that come up in the future. Now, that being said, I have Lauren Talley with me. Thank you so much for joining me for an interview today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I'm thrilled that we were able to work it out. We went kind of back and forth. And I think last year...
We've been trying to make this happen for about a year now.
Last year I asked you, and it just... Scheduling-wise, just didn't work. Yeah. So I'm glad it worked this time.
Me too. I've been looking forward to it.
And you've
also been a little freaked out.
So I'm going to tell them, earlier today, we did... Legacy 5 came in for the Singing News Radio Roundtable. Mm-hmm. Interview, and those of you that don't know, we're recording these at National Quartet Convention, and you were co-hosting with Danny Jones of Singing News, and you told me then that this interview has you very nervous.
See, I know how you all are. You throw in these
zingers.
Yeah, I gotta bring my A game for this.
Well, I'll tell you.
I'm a big fan of the series, though.
Well, thank you. When someone says that on camera, I always ask them, who has been your favorite interview that you've seen?
Oh, gosh. I liked Gerald Wolf's a lot. I liked Wes Hampton's a lot.
We talked about cooking with Wes Hampton.
I know.
That was interesting.
He's a great cook.
I've never had his cooking before.
Never have I.
He's made.
I never have either, but his pictures look really good on Instagram. So.
He makes it look delicious. We have no idea what it tastes like. It may taste like chalk, but it looks fantastic.
But it looks pretty, and that's really all that matters.
Hopefully next time I can get him on sometime.
Yeah.
And we'll actually do a... cooking
Maybe
interview
we'll bring
with Wes. That would be awesome. Well, we had a ton of questions for you submitted by the followers of this series about your family.
Okay.
And the family history of the Talleys in Southern gospel music. It's a rich heritage.
It is.
So why don't you share with these folks about the Talleys and your history with them?
Well, we've been around pretty much forever. Not really forever. I'll try to give the Cliff's Notes version here.
Yeah.
My mom and dad started in gospel music with different groups in the 70s. My dad joined the Hoppers as their piano player right out of college.
Wow.
And my mom was traveling with a group called the Songmasters Quartet out of Milan, Tennessee. She was 19 years old, never been away from home before, didn't know anything about gospel music. They met each other while they were with both of those groups. And they traveled with the Hoppers for a little while together after they got married. I was born while they were on the road with the Hoppers, while they were with
them. Really?
Mm-hmm. And so that's why the Talleys and the Hoppers have always had a very special connection, because
nice
we're family. My Uncle Kirk, my dad's brother, was... actually with the Hoppers as well. He started traveling and singing with them and playing bass when he was in high school. And I have no idea why my grandparents let him go do that while he was 16 years old, but I guess because my dad was there, it was okay.
Yeah.
They each formed the Talleys in 1984, and that group continued on for about 9 or 10 years or so. I spent my childhood on the bus with that group.
Mm-hmm.
I've been around gospel music my whole life, and people ask, is this all you know? Pretty much. I've tried to expand my horizons a little bit beyond a bus, but yes, this has been our life for the last however many years.
Oh, and you mentioned your Uncle Kirk.
Yeah.
Cathedral Quartet.
Yes,
tenor.
He was with the Cathedrals for several years.
And that's where a lot of people I would say first met him, know him, great songwriter
yes.
as well. And so I'm sure I wasn't around then. I didn't really come into the gospel music scene until after 2000. So the cathedrals were already retired yeah. and everything. But I'm sure that...
you missed it. Those were the days.
I know. I've heard stories. I've seen videos. But I'm sure that when the Tallies came together, you were talking about with your uncle, your dad, your mom, and then you as a kid singing, I'm sure, with them and stuff. I'm sure that back then there was just a tight... awesome sound at of the music that they were creating.
I might
together.
Be a little bit biased, but I would agree with that statement. They were doing stuff musically that wasn't being done a lot in this genre, and they really were kind of pioneers of a sort, because up until that point, gospel music had still been very traditional. Most groups did not use tracks. They just used piano and bass. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have a lot of other instrumentation. And the Tallies came along and did some innovative things with their music that gospel music really hadn't seen before. So I would say that they kind of ushered in maybe a little bit more slightly progressive sound, which okay. has kind of continued on, I think, yeah. now.
We're definitely using tracks today.
Well, yeah, we
We've kind of reversed the mold
now,
on that. Now it's
now
like hardly
now
anybody
it's live,
has the live
yeah,
music.
Yeah, it's rare for there to be live players on stage now. But I miss that.
Yeah, when the Singing News Fan Awards band category, you've got four or five choices, and that's
every
it.
Year.
I know, it's crazy.
I know.
But it's the nature of the beast in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't afford to have four players on the bus.
Well...
it's hard.
It's not the 80s anymore, and
yeah.
the economy is different, and it's just a different world, different time.
Absolutely.
But we've been traveling and singing together as the current incarnation of the Tallies for 21 years now. I can't believe it's been that long.
That is...
I know.
That's hard for me to
it's
wrap
hard
my
for
mind
me too.
Around that. I didn't know it had been that long.
Yeah.
That's great, though. Well, that actually leads into the first submitted question online. Terry Leach would like to know, what's it like to travel with your parents? Be kind. Be gentle.
We have a good time together. We really do. We're a close family. We're a very loving family. My parents are more like friends now than parents. I guess that happens as you get older. We have our times just like everybody else when everybody's got to go find their own little corner
right.
and hide and do their own thing for a little while. When we're off the road, we don't see as much of each other because everybody is going and doing different things. And then we meet up at the bus on Thursday night. Well, what'd you do this week? Well, I did this and I did that. We go around the table at dinner. Okay, Mama, what'd you do this week? And
catch up.
We catch up that
on the weekends.
But yeah, we do.
So what's your life been like the last 4 days?
Right.
Elaine Harcourt would like to know, outside of your parents, who are your musical influences?
Oh, there's been so many.
We'll narrow it down.
I'll start with gospel music.
Yeah.
The Martins were a huge influence on me when I was very, very young. When I was about 12 or 13 years old, I was just exploring my own voice and discovering that God had given me my own calling and my own gift apart from Mom and Dad. And that was right at the time when the Martins were really hitting big and they were doing cool stuff. At least I thought it was cooler than what Mom and Dad had done. And I've always loved them.
Because we all think our parents are cool.
Nobody thinks their parents are cool.
Like 13, right? Yeah.
So I love the Martins. Cece Winans is my hero. I want to be her. She is amazing and she's anointed. I was really into country music for a while. Wynonna Judd was one of my favorite country voices. But I try to find inspiration in lots of different places because yeah. I feel that there's something good to be learned yeah. from a lot of different things. If it's of quality and if it's positive, if it's enriching your life in some way, then it's of merit to me. So I try to learn from people who are different from me. But
good. That's good. Danny Wood, well, thank you for your question, Danny. Would love to. His question is, he loves the Broken Ones song
oh,
that
yes.
you do. So his question is, kind of where did that song come from, and how do you get through that song when you sing it? Because it's just a great song.
It's an amazing song. That song was kind of dropped in our lap in a way. Jerry Sally had the idea for it, and his daughter, Maggie, Maggie is a real-life person. His daughter, Maggie, was always bringing home stray animals that were injured or hurt somehow, and she would take care of them and feed them and patch them up. And he said, we had this menagerie at our house because of all these animals that Maggie was bringing home. And he said, I kept thinking about how much she loved these animals and how much like that is the love that Jesus Christ has for us.
Right.
So that's where the song kind of came from. And it was just submitted to us through their publisher for a recording that we did. And when we heard it, we all just went, this is the greatest song I have ever heard. We lost it the first couple of times that we heard it. We kind of got it out of our system then.
Yeah.
But I've been singing that song now for about, I think, 7 or 8 years. And it kind of takes on a life of its own because I hear different things that it means to different people. And I talk to people who tell me their stories of how they've been broken. And I know what that's like myself. And, you know, it's just special every time you sing it, and in slightly different ways.
Right. It's a beautiful song. Is there anywhere that they can find that song?
Oh, yeah.
If maybe someone watching has said, The Broken Ones, just by chance, they haven't heard it.
Oh,
where can they
find
it?
If you're watching this on YouTube, just go type in Lauren Talley, The Broken Ones, or The Talleys, The Broken Ones, and it'll pop right up. But,
cool.
Yeah.
Lindsay Morton would like to know, what is your favorite Christmas tradition?
Eating.
I thought that was more of a Thanksgiving thing.
I wish it were more spiritual than that, but the best part about Christmas to me is when the family all gets together. The weekend before Christmas is when my mom's family gets together. They live out in West Kentucky. We're the only ones that live off, and so we always go out there and spend that weekend with them. And it's loud, and everybody's cutting up, and when one takes a breath, the next one starts, and we pretty much just entertain ourselves.
I'm sure none of you have a family.
No,
like that, right?
It's just us. Yeah, Christmas with them is loud, but it's fun. And on Christmas Eve, my mom cooks Christmas dinner. I cook some too, and but who wants to cook when my mom is so good at it?
Right.
But that's when we exchange family gifts, and we have brunch on Christmas morning with just, you know, the immediate family,
mm-hmm.
and watch whatever sports are on TV. And Christmas is very chill, the actual holiday itself.
Speaking of sports, there was a couple questions that came up, and I'm not even going to ask a question. I'm just going to say, University of Tennessee.
Amen.
And
yes.
.. Football, basketball, anything?
Yes, all the above.
Okay.
All the above.
Diehard? I'm catching a little diehard vibe.
It's intense.
On
it's
Tennessee.
A little frightening, actually.
Just a thought. Maybe a closet full of a orangish color.
We don't
maybe?
Talk about what's in the closet. No, I'm just kidding. My family has had season tickets to the. Stop it.
Orange. I'm just saying orange, right?
Orange is God's favorite color.
Okay. Okay.
I'm just telling you. We've had season tickets to the University of Tennessee Lady Vols basketball games for about 25 years. We go as often as possible. I'm usually gone on Saturdays in the fall, but I get in as many football games at Neyland Stadium as I possibly can. You want to hear the Tallies get loud, you turn on Tennessee on the TV, and we can't watch it, honestly, before we go in and sing, because we get
your emotions
worked
all messed up.
We get too worked up.
How are you supposed to minister when you're all worked up like that?
When you're mad about the game or, yeah, oh,
and I'm sure there are tons of fans that, you know, you can name all those SEC schools, Big Ten schools, all that. I'm sure they all get worked up over stuff like that.
That's the great thing about college football. Everybody's got that one team that they love and that one team that they can't stand.
Hate.
And that's, you have to have a little hatred for it to be good.
Well, I'm going to go past the hate part because there are kids watching. You're not supposed to hate.
No, you're not supposed to hate.
Zachary Grant wants to know, what is your favorite song? And I mentioned your Uncle Kirk earlier being a writer.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite song written by your Uncle Kirk?
Oh, wow.
That's a great question.
He's had so many good ones.
I know.
Probably He Is Here.
Okay.
You can sing He Is Here anywhere. And it just ushers in the presence of the Lord. And it's a song that the audience can easily pick up on and sing along.
Yeah.
We're still singing it 25 years after he wrote mm-hmm. it. So that I think that's the mark of a good song.
And to close things out, and this has been awesome. I've enjoyed, I guess, I mean, we talked a lot about your family.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that is an very integral part of who you are.
Family's everything in life.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
All about relationships. It's about your relationship with God, your relationship with the people that love you the most. I mean, if you don't have those two things in line, then you need to pay some attention to what's really important in life, because those are the only things that's going to last.
Yeah, and so I actually don't have Fauch Zone, and I didn't do Fauch Zone.
I'm crushed. That was the part I was really looking forward to.
That was the part you were nervous about.
I know, but I was still excited about it.
But what I do want to end out with, and before I do
Man,
this,
I'm
I do want to say this. I'm sorry.
Next time.
On the Couch with Fauch, make sure you hit like, comment, subscribe, all that fun stuff. But to close out, I want you to give these folks a rousing rendition of Rocky Top.
I knew that was coming. Rocky Top. Oh, put your hand over your heart.
Oh.
Put your hand over your heart. This is the Tennessee National Anthem. Rocky Top, you'll always be home sweet home to me. Good old Rocky Top. Woo! Rocky Top, Tennessee.
Rocky Top, Tennessee. Thanks for watching,
Amen.
Guys. Have a great day.
Victory!
Hey guys, Matt Fouch here with Legacy 5 and the On the Couch with Fouch interview series. Thank you so much for listening to the interviews right here on the SBB Radio Network.
Test.
Long are the nights when you're lonely. Tough are the days filled with pain. Sometimes this life gives you thunder, and then you get caught in the rain. Take it from someone who's weathered more than a couple of storms. There might be sadness around you, but joy will soon knock on your door. I see clear skies coming and it won't be long. I see sunshine after the clouds are all gone. You may be crying all night, but God's gonna send down a heavenly light. I see clear skies coming and I know that it won't be long. No, it won't be long.
So go on and laugh at the bad times. Some things are out of your hands. When life throws a lot of stuff at you, turn up the music and dance. I see clear skies coming and it won't be long. Skies coming and I know that it won't be long.
I apologize for the mic dropping out there. I was going to say, Lauren Talley is just one incredible artist. I really enjoy her singing, her work, her song selection, and the arrangements on her solo projects. And I'm so glad to get an opportunity to be able to bring you the On the Couch with Fouch interview with Lauren Talley. We're going to switch gears now a little bit. You were just listening to Ernie Haas and Signature Sound doing their brand new title track off their Clear Skies project. And that should lead us right in to who the second interview is going to be with today. And Ernie Haas and Wayne Hahn, it's my understanding, are the creators of Stowtown Records. They're an underwriter for the station. They provide us lots of music, station drops, opportunities. And we were just recently invited to a dinner with those folks in I think it was in Pigeon Forge, and we're just not going to be able to make it because of an illness in the family. But if it was any other time, I would definitely take them up on that. Well, anyway, we're doing On the Couch with Fouch. Matt Fouch got an opportunity to sit down with Ernie Haas and do an interview, and man, are we looking forward to it. Here is the lead-in to the Ernie Haas interview.
Here, the host of On the Couch with Fouch. Now, you are enjoying the On the Couch with Fouch interviews right here on the SBB Radio Network. And now, back to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, and you are here for the very first episode ever of Standing on the Couch with Fouch.
Standing on the couch with Fouch. Standing on the couch with Fouch.
Yeah, that's our new jingle. Standing on the couch with Fouch. Hey!
Okay. That was a fun little
Enough of that fun stuff.
Yeah.
Let's get down to the serious stuff.
Very cool. Thank you guys so much for joining us for On the Couch with Fouch. I have the one and only,
thank God,
Ernie Foss with me today. I'm actually on their bus right now. And
on my couch with Fouch.
That's right. We're on Ernie's couch, but he's with Fouch. And we are in the Denver, Colorado area for the Cathedral's family reunion.
Yay.
I love these events.
I do too. They're exciting.
They're so great. The video production, getting to see George and Glenn. If you haven't been to a Cathedral's family reunion before, there's so many special moments with these events that are just fantastic for any Cathedral's fan. The bus is here for this one.
Yeah.
Silhouette. Yeah, Silhouette's here. They do the memorabilia display and then the video. So I just love these things. What is your favorite? And this is one of the questions that people had.
Mm-hmm.
Your favorite moment, just not with Cathedral's, but with George in general. Being that, for those of you that don't know, George Yontz is Ernie's father-in-law. And so, your favorite moment with George?
There's a lot of them.
A big one right off the bat.
But I think one of the first things that come to my mind was my first night with him. We were in Nashville at the Tennessee Performing Arts Center, and this was before the homecoming craze, and we were doing a Gaither date. So it was Gaither Trio Vocal Band, and so George set me down in the lobby of the Hyatt House. And so we sat down, and he said, I believe you can do this. Tonight's your first night. I know you're nervous. And he goes, and I just want to let you know, I'm going to do my best to wear you out. And he wasn't being mean. And he laughed real big. And he goes, you know what I mean, Ernie. He goes, I just need you to be strong. And I don't care what you do all day long, but all night, I need you to finish the song and end it strong. And if you promise me that you'll do that, I promise you, I will do my best to give you the knowledge and the setup that I have. He shook my hand. It was just so cool. The way they handled their business, you just knew what to expect. There was
right.
No surprises.
Right.
And that was my first experience. But along the way, there were some great times. And you know, one of my saddest memories was after our last concert in Akron, Ohio. He was, Glenn already passed, and he was in kidney failure and holding out for dialysis. So he had called all the guys, all of our family, one by one into his bedroom, just to tell him he loved him, and it almost felt like he was saying goodbye,
Right.
So he said some things that were very personal to me and that I needed to hear, both good and both challenging.
Hmm.
One thing he told me was, he goes, Ernie, you don't eat right, and don't be like me. Don't get in this position with your body to where you go into truck stops at night and eat those cheeseburgers.
Right.
He goes, it just wears on a quartet, man. He says, so, because I need you to be strong for my family. I need you to start taking care of yourself. And, but there's a lot of neat things that I wasn't expecting to hear. But,
right.
So I've got a lot of memories, but that's the front, that's the end. And those were the things that, that I remember.
That's great, man. Just going with what you're saying about, being on a bus, the life of getting done at 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
What do you eat? Okay, Waffle House is open. Steak and Shake is open.
Yeah.
That stuff that sometimes is just, maybe you can order a salad there, but really what you really want there is that steak burger
with fries,
smothered in cheese, mm-hmm. That kind of stuff. And it is hard to eat, right?
It is hard.
And to be active and healthy. But seems like your group does a good job of that. The guys in your group, I know that when we get together at concerts, they want to play Ultimate Frisbee. They want to go for a jog. They want to go in the gym and shoot ball. So that's pretty neat that you've been able to foster kind of a nature of being fit and maybe, eating right. Is that something that stemmed from George saying that to you?
Absolutely. It sure did. When we started the group, I had lost about 40 pounds from our last Cathedral concert. I got up like 245. I'm 6'2", so I'm a big guy anyways, but that was a little too heavy. So, and I was depressed, man. Glenn had died. I was losing my dream job. And then I knew, even though George didn't know, because we kept it from him, you know, that Roger's cancer was back, and I could see that lump on his neck. So I was maybe not clinically depressed, but I was down. I'm not a down person, right. But I was down, and that's the way I handled it, was eating. Right. So that's why we, you know, when we started the group, that was one of my top five things. We are going to look healthy, because I just think it just throws off to the crowd that you're taking your art serious.
Right.
And I think, you know, not judging the industry, but I just think our music is the best music out there, and I want to portray it the best I can in every area, from our mannerisms to our harmony, to the way we talk to people, to the way we present ourselves, yeah. the way our suits hang. I mean, all that stuff matters to me. So if you can see on the bus, that noise you were hearing, we got a little ice machine up there, got my coffee machine, and then those stainless steel things over there are some refrigerators, and we keep it full of lean turkey meat and some veggies, yeah. And some fruit. So, and then I got a blender in that cabinet with some protein powder. So,
very cool, man.
Try my very best to do that.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Great way to do it. Great way to live.
It sure helps. It helps my knees, because through all the years of sports, my knees have kind of given me trouble. So that extra weight on the knees does not feel good at all.
So. Right. So continuing with the Cathedral Quartet kind of idea. There was a question from Bob Etzel Jr. Thank you for your question, Bob. And his question was, everyone wants to know, or everyone knows, that their favorite song to hear you sing is Oh What a Savior. Okay. But what is your favorite song to sing? Which I thought was a great question.
That's a great question. Of all the Cathedral songs? Or just period?
Just period. I mean, everyone wants to hear you sing Oh What a Savior. That's, you know, your signature song. But... you know, what song do you most like to sing?
Depends where I'm at emotionally and spiritually, and that will change every night. Some songs are just, I cannot wait to sing Walk With Me, because I just need His guidance. I need His wisdom. You know, so those songs mean something to me in here. So, but I'd have to agree with everybody else. I cannot wait till the end of the show to let my heart erupt and to sing the praises of our Savior and to sing Oh What a Savior. I never get tired of it. You want to know another George moment? When our project, High and Lifted Up project, came out, which was a big, big record for the Cathedral. So this has been 95 maybe. There was a song I wrote called Death Has Died. It was a huge song. And whenever we'd sing it, it would just go over. Incredible. But then we wouldn't do Oh What a Savior, because it was like, you got these two huge songs. I can't fit both into the program. And so I was sitting backstage one night. I said, do you think I'll ever sing anything else besides Oh What a Savior? It was an honest question. That wasn't me. And George looked down, and he thought a second. And, you know, he'd always rub his hand and scratch his hand, and he was thinking, you know. And he said, young man, let me just tell you this way. He said, I've been in this business a long time, and I know a lot of great singers come through this business who didn't have one song that people asked them to sing every night. You ought to thank God every morning that you have that song at age 30. You know?
Right.
I said, yes, sir. Never was brought up again. And we did do Death Has Died and a few other songs along the way, but there was never a concert from that day forward where we didn't do Oh What a Savior.
Right.
And still yet today.
And still today. I mean, you even have an album.
Absolutely.
Titled Oh What a Savior.
Absolutely.
I mean, so, very great song. I mean, maybe you're watching and you've not heard Ernie sing Oh What a Savior. I would be surprised, but maybe you are. You need to go right now. Well, wait till the interview's over. Then, while you're on YouTube, go and check out Oh What a Savior. Fantastic song, and you do a great job and have for 30 years?
Yeah, it's been that
25
long.
Years?
Full-time as an occupation, 28. But, of course, been singing my whole life. But
and Oh What a Savior's been for?
Every one of those 28 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I started singing in a local group right out of high school. I started singing with one of those weekend warrior groups. Mm-hmm. We called the Nobleman Quartet. And so they were featuring this 18-year-old kid and trying to find that song to feature me on.
Right.
And Mike Meyer, the sound engineer, came to me and said, if you could sing this song. And he actually played me the Florida Boys version, not the Statesman version. And he said, if you could get close to this song, it might make you a household name. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means. But let me hear it. And that song is what George and Glenn heard. in the late part of 89, when Danny was leaving, I had opened up for them, and they heard me sing that. I didn't even know they heard it, because I didn't even see them that night. They were backstage. Wow. And, you know, George calls, you know, a few months later and said, "Son, you came on like Job's turkey." And I don't know what that means either. He said, "You knocked my hat in the creek, son." Get him, son.
So. Very cool. Well, I mean, fantastic song, so you've got to check it out if you haven't heard it. Next question comes from Daniel Mount. And as I always say, Daniel, you ask some fantastic questions.
I love Daniel.
And Daniel's question is,
right.
Well, actually, he had two real good ones.
Okay.
In light of your newest Broadway album,
mm-hmm.
or the Broadway album, have you ever heard a song performed live that you recorded on the Broadway album? So have you ever gone to Broadway?
Oh, yeah.
And heard...
I've heard every one of them.
Okay, so you've heard every song on your Broadway
Absolutely.
Album performed live
Absolutely.
On Broadway?
Yes.
How many times have you been to Broadway?
Lisa and I... Okay, this is our little secret, and... But this is our thing. You know, we travel so much that when I'm home, I don't want to travel. And thankfully, Lisa is like her mama. She's a homebody, and she's cool with that. She's good with staying in Stowe, Ohio, and staying within a 3-mile radius of our house. But once a year, we go to New York. We do our New York Broadway Blitz. And we'll go there for like 4 days. And I kid you not, we sleep in because we stay up so late. But we get up, eat breakfast, and then we go to a matinee. A musical, eat supper, go to evening wow. show, and then we go to Carmine's that night, and we'll eat. We don't get back to the room till 2 o'clock in the morning, and we do that for 4 days solid. So we'll cram in about six or seven shows, and that's
crazy.
I'm stealing a Wayne Hahn line here, but most of my ideas come from when I do those things, and not that I see something there and I like, oh, that would work great for. You know, signature sound. I'm just saying ideas
yeah,
come right. to me. I, that's the well of creativity. And I love the theater. I was raised in church, but I was also in the theater from day... You know, I just... Ben Wolf is filming this. I mean, I was in second grade. I was in the musicals, and I sang a song, Michael Jackson's song, Ben. And that's why I was telling them about that. I've been in the theater since I was in grade school all the way through college. And so it was just a matter of time. Call me crazy, but it's just a matter of time because it was in my heart to do that. I would go grab some of those inspirational songs
right.
and record them with harmony.
So the second part of that question,
okay.
and this is a pretty quick answer here.
Quick answer, okay.
If you could play one Broadway role, which would it be?
I would like to do... I like to play Fiddler on the Roof. I like to be Motzel Kamswood, the tailor. I like that character. And I actually played him in high school and fell in love with that role. And I developed it real quickly, that role. And I would like to go... I would like to play Broadway, period. I would take any right. role. And my dream one day with this Inspiration of Broadway thing, if anybody cares, is to... stand in front of a symphony one day and do a tour where we do symphony dates because it's written with a symphony in mind. But I would love to do a 3-week stint on Broadway, some small theater, and do that show.
Yeah. Very cool. Kind of switching gears here.
But let me say this, that people should know when they listen to this. When we do these performing arts centers and we do this show, The Inspiration uh-huh. Broadway, we're also getting to do Getaway Jordan and these spirituals that we do as Signature Sound, and it's new to these people. We're getting a brand new crowd of people.
Introducing gospel music to
and
them.
And they're coming to our gospel shows now, too.
Right.
And some of them, you know, they don't have a clue what it is, but they love the art form.
Gotcha. Cool. So, right now, while we're talking about the Inspiration of Broadway, you do actually have a newer album.
Yes.
Than that one.
Yes.
And that one is pretty new, less than a year old.
Oh,
but you have a newer one now. So why don't you tell them real quick about the new album that
okay.
just released.
Yes. Our mainstream big record that we just released is called Happy People. And we did a studio version of that. And then we also, you know how we do our live concerts and we filmed them. And so we did a big production. And so that just came out. And it's, the song is catching on with radio faster than any song we've ever released since Reason Enough.
Hmm.
It went like from... like as soon as it went into the charts at 40, which was great, all the way up to 15. And so it's just a fun song. you know, God's people should be the happiest people, and so that's what it speaks to. And it's a little out of the box. We took some chances on this record,
okay.
And it's working. So thank God.
So where can people maybe hear a sample or go and order it?
Oh yeah. Well, I've been working my YouTube a lot, YouTube channel. So just go to ErnieHaas.com and you'll see all the icons up there for Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And I put up little samples of every song, and then I sat down with the writers of the songs and did the stories, the backstories, and how the songs were written. We wrote a lot of them, so I sat with Wayne and Joel and a few others. But just go to ErnieHaas.com and you'll find the links. And when you go to our YouTube, hit the subscribe button, because every time I do add a new video, you'll get an email saying, hey, go check out.
And while you're watching this, hit the subscribe button for the Matt Fouch channel so you can get all the On the Couch with Fouch videos.
You do. It's a good
perfect
way.
Perfect timing.
It's a good way to keep you abreast of what's going on, so you don't have to always go to the YouTube channel to say anything new. I got like two or three athletes that I follow their YouTube channel, and then Jerry Seinfeld hit the comedian. So it's just cool, and I get an email from Jerry Seinfeld saying, hey, Ernie, I really think he knows me.
Yeah. So, this is a question that I have for you, and I don't want this to come across as a, man, you're getting old, Ernie, when are you going to retire type of question.
Okay.
But I'm just curious, do you ever give thought to the idea of when you will no longer travel or sing? And if you do, what exactly does that look like? Or, you know, what will you do? Will you be behind the scenes doing some other things? Will you just ride off into the sunset? Or, you know, I mean, do you even think about that?
Yeah, secretly. Now it's not a secret anymore. I do. For two reasons. Number one, there's not a lot of old tenor singers. You know, so
good point.
I don't want to
old bass singers.
Well, you can get you can get old and keep growling on, but judge me if you want to. I've just got too much pride to go out and not be able to do it the way I know I can do it. I'm kind of like those basketball players, you know. They can hang on for 5 or 6 more years, but they know. And I don't want to be that guy that's 5, 6 years past his usefulness and prime. But I know this is a ministry too, and God can anoint something that may not be what it was and still have a lot of impact. So a lot of that thought process has led me to start Stowtown Records, to work with Wayne Hahn and Landon Bean and Nate Goble. I just flew in today because we were in Myrtle Beach. The guys drove. I stayed. And one of our new artists, the Irwins, a new family group, I sang on their record, and they wanted me to stay and come up and sing with them. So I can see the second half of my life promoting other people. But I love to perform and minister. I love that. As long as I can do it at a good level, then I'll keep doing it. But to me, retirement is not quitting. I'm not a quitter. I don't plan to die. I don't plan to stop. That's not in my makeup. But to me, retirement is being able to do what you want to do when you want to do it. And touring the way we tour, that doesn't sound like something I want to do into my set 60s and 70s.
Right.
But if I could go out and, you know, hook up with my Cathedral family, if I can go and hook up with, you know, some of the guys from Six Sound and, you know, do 30 dates here and there,
right,
that would thrill me, and then work behind the scenes helping some other young artists get going.
Right.
So I don't know when that day comes, but I think I'll know. I think I will know before anybody else will know. I will know that I can't do it at that level anymore.
Okay.
100-something days a year.
Yeah, right. Well, I hope you didn't take that as me saying, hey, man, you're getting a little old. Why don't you think about retirement?
Because that's a real question.
Like
I look at George and Glenn, how they sacrificed their whole lives for the call.
Yeah.
But, you know, their bodies gave out, and they didn't get to enjoy any downtime with their families and grandkids. And I'm not judging that, because that's how you can't write your own life story. You can't write it. But if I could, I would like to continue to sing till I die. I just don't want to tour the way we tour as much. It's like Jeff Gordon.
Yeah.
You know, he just announced this is his last year of the NASCAR tour. He said, I'm still going to race. He's just not going to be on that tour.
Right.
Weekend after weekend. So
the grind. The weekly grind of it.
Singing is the easiest part of it.
Yeah.
It is, if I could be magically transported to a stage every night, I'd sing every night.
Okay, here's a quick question. Terry Hunt wants to know, what is your favorite Bible verse?
My life verse has been for a long time. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. It says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in His time, casting all your cares upon Him, because He cares for you. And so many times I cast the big cares, and those little cares, I just think I can handle it. But when you humble yourself and cast all your cares on Him, He will exalt you, He'll lift you. And He wants all those cares. He cares. Not just about the big ones, but the small ones too. So
it's amazing what He can do if we just give it to Him, let it go, kind of step out of the way and say, okay, you've been in control the whole time. I thought I was, but really you are. So if I cast all my cares upon you, you've got it under control. You know what's best for me. It's hard to do.
It is, because in our business, we got to plan the next record, the next tour. And George said to me one time, he said, Ernie, you got a lot of dreams, you got a lot of plans. Just be careful you don't plan God right out of it. Hmm. And it is true. Yeah. So we rush into the day and we have our agenda, and there's a reason for prayer, there's a reason for scriptures and meditation. These are pathways to God's grace. And when you spend that time, that quality time with Him, then you are resting in Him. You're actively resting in Him, and you don't get ahead of His game plan. And that's the hardest thing to do for somebody like me. And normally I crash and burn. He has His way of stopping me and shutting me down. And normally I get sick or I get burned out. So I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
You know what, Ernie? It's my favorite part of the whole program. It's time for it. The Fouch Zone.
I have a certain number of questions. So, you have an unspecified amount of time to answer.
I've been so scared of this.
Do not get the answers in the amount of time. We go directly to the next question.
Okay.
First one is, the only state capital without a McDonald's is... Time. How many glasses of milk will a cow give in her lifetime?
None.
Time. Only island in the Caribbean to have a railroad in it is...
I don't know.
How many hearts does an earthworm have?
Two.
And what percentage of the world is left-handed? Time.
I don't know any of them.
I got you.
You did. Every one of them.
All right. There's five great questions
here. Five great questions.
The only state capital that does not have a McDonald's is... Would you like to take a guess?
I said Idaho, but I don't think so. Maybe Utah.
Okay. No.
No?
It's Montpelier, Vermont. Does not
really
have a McDonald's. The only capital. But, Utah would be a... That'd be a good guess. How many glasses of milk will a cow give in her lifetime? You said none.
I said none.
So
I never saw a glass come out of milk.
So 200,000 is how much
milk
it would actually get.
Okay, gotcha.
The only island in the Caribbean to have a railroad is... You said, I don't know.
I don't know.
It's Cuba.
Oh.
How many hearts does an earthworm have? You guessed two.
I just said two.
And it's five.
Really?
Wow. And the percent of the
bless its
percentage
little hearts
of the world that is left-handed is...
Percentage of the world that's left-handed?
Yeah.
Gosh, I'd say half, 50%.
11.
Really? My wife, every one of her sisters is left-handed.
Everyone in my family is right-handed.
Weird. We're in the Fouch Zone.
So thanks so much, man,
for joining
me.
It was fun.
My pleasure. Guys, thanks so much for watching On the Couch with Fouch, interview with Ernie Haas. I hope you guys had a great time. And anything else you want to tell the folks here before we let them go?
So we'll say I love you, and thank you for your support all these years. And just keep the prayers coming, because we sure feel them.
Like, comment, subscribe, visit Ernie Haas' signature sound. Thanks so much from On the Couch with Fouch.
I really enjoy doing these programs tremendously. On the Couch with Fouch, and during the interview, they mentioned one of the signature... And there's no pun intended there. One of the signature songs that Ernie Haas and Signature Sound has done. And Ernie probably before he was with Signature Sound. And we've got that coming up. So please stay tuned.
Hey guys, Matt Fouch here.
here with the Legacy 5 and the On the Couch with Fouch interview series. Thank you so much for listening to the interviews right here on the SBB Radio Network.
Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see, but they searched through heaven. And they found a Savior to save a poor lost soul like me. One of these days I'll be crossing, but I'll not fear, for his hand lead me, gonna lead me safe. Oh, and then I'll join that chorus. I'm gonna sing a better
What a Savior He is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks so much to all the people that made On the Couch with Fouch possible this week. God bless.